welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Driver Distraction Department here at Car Talk Plaza. And what kind of distraction are we talking about, pray tell?
Okay, here it is. A mouse was blamed for a two-car accident in southern Germany after having crawled up a motorist's trousers. As the rodent squirmed up his inside thigh, the driver slammed on the brakes, causing a rear-end collision with a car driven by a female motorist behind him. When the woman got out to give him a piece of her mind, the man reached in his pants and hauled out the wriggling mouse, according to a police spokesperson. Now, that reminded me of the day I was driving down Massachusetts Avenue. I was right in Porter Square.
Yes.
And I was driving my 74 Chevy Caprice Classic convertible.
Really?
And it was a magnificent day.
Don't tell me. It wasn't a mouse that ran up your pants.
It wasn't a mouse.
A raccoon?
Those were the days when I was evil. I used to smoke cigarettes, of all things.
Really?
So there I was, smoking a cigarette, and there's a red light. So I stopped right next to a bus. And in the bus, there are 100 people. And I reach up to take the cigarette out of my mouth, and somehow I drop it. And it falls onto the seat right between my legs.
And, of course, you're worried about burning the precious seat cover material.
The precious pants and all the other precious stuff. So, of course, immediately I start reaching for it to find it.
Who wouldn't?
And you can imagine what it looks like. There I am, groveling around in my own crotch. And I look up. And there's 20 people in the bus looking out at me.
And you were immediately arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's
I gave up smoking right after that.
Anyway, if you've got a question about your car or mice, for that matter, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Allison. And I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Allison?
Allison from Reno.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Allison. There are so many ways to spell
Allison. Well, I spell it with one A,
yes.
Two L's, one I, one S, and an O-N.
I spell the same way you do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's the traditional spelling.
Is it? Well,
yeah, not like these A-A-A-L-L-I-C-Y-N-N-E.
Wait, where'd you say you were from?
Reno, Nevada.
Reno. You sound young.
Well, I am 26.
Are you really?
Yes. Do I sound younger?
You sound 16.
Do. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's
I
good.
I look 16.
That's great. Yeah, so what are you doing, Reno?
I am studying public policy.
So you're a graduate student, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
Public policy.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if this doesn't pan out, you can get a job as a dealer. How are your blackjack skills?
Yeah, that's right. The dealer school is right down the street.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling,
Allison. That's
great.
You have a problem with a car?
Yes, I do. I have a Jeep Cherokee Sport. And a little over a year after I bought it, the red number 10 fuse blew. And that's the one that controls the radio, the power windows, and the door locks. Mm. Then 6 months later, it blew again. So I replaced it. 2 days after that, it blew again. And that was about 4 days ago.
Ah, yeah. Something's wrong.
Mm.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I mean, there are lots of schools of thought concerning fuses. It's a 10 amp.
Uh-huh.
You could go to 20. You might find out where that short is. I suspect there is something else on that circuit. Even though it says radio, windows, and door locks, I suspect there's something else.
Why do you need anything else? I mean, you got two prime candidates here.
Well,
out of the three.
It ain't the radio.
It's not the radio, but the power windows and the door locks are notorious for causing problems.
Well, but Allison cannot associate it with using the window. In other words, if you were putting up or down a window and it blew midstream, you'd say, ha!
Right.
But doesn't happen.
How do you know that it has blown?
Because the windows won't go down.
No idea.
Well, when does it blow?
I don't realize it until I turn the car on and the radio doesn't work and the door locks don't work.
Right.
And I have one of those automatic door unlockers on my keychain.
And that's the last thing you used, isn't it?
Yeah. And the first thing I use before I get in the car.
And the first thing you use to get in the car.
So you can get into the car.
So we know that the moment before you start the car, the thing is working. And the only other thing you've used is the door locks.
Right.
That's it.
No, the door locks worked. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to get into the car. She opens the thing.
And in the process of working, they blew the fuse. That's the last time they worked.
I don't think so.
You press the little button, the door opens, you get in the car, and the things don't work anymore.
Right.
Is that true, Allison?
Yes.
All right, so now what? Now that you yelled at her for 10 minutes, what is she going to do about it?
I don't know. Don't lock the car.
Well, you probably do have a short somewhere, and it could easily be a pinched wire. You know, the wires that come into the door come in where the pillar is, where the hinges for the door are attached.
Right.
And those wires get flexed. Usually a car has to be much older before it has this affliction. Because in order to have those wires break and short out, you must open the door a couple of million times.
There is nothing wrong with the Chrysler car. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to take it to whoever you take it to and tell him or her that you're pretty sure there's a short somewhere in the door locks.
Okay.
In the meantime, stock up on those red number 10s.
I will.
See you, Allison.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good luck in your degree. Pursuits.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hello. This is Nathaniel from Tacoma, Washington.
It took you a while to figure out who you were, eh?
Yeah, it did.
Trying to make up a phony name that sounded convincing.
This is Robert Redford and, yeah, how are you, Nat?
Hey, I'm doing very well, sir.
May I call you Nat?
You may call me Nat. You're one of the first people who's ever gotten it right in the first try.
Oh, as opposed to Nate.
Right, exactly.
So what's up, man?
Well, I tell you, I just got myself a Saab. A Saab 900,
and
I just drove it up from Colorado. You see, my mom gave it to me.
Really?
And I went to my future mother-in-law's house the first thing to show it off to her.
Of course.
And all my in-laws were there, and
Future in-laws.
Oh, my future in-laws, that's right.
Yeah.
We opened up the doors, we looked at the car, and it started rolling down the hill in front of my in-law's house. The emergency brake was set, and I was running as fast as I could after this car down the hill, and it was just laughing. And it was just terrible. So I jumped in the car and stopped it in the intersection and turned it on and got it back up the hill again. But what's really weird about this is that not 1 week earlier, I had had all the brakes looked at in Colorado and gotten new brakes put on the car.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So this is a manual transmission car.
Right, this is a manual transmission
car. And you were obviously in neutral.
Well, right.
Why were you in neutral?
Well, I can only think that maybe somebody might have jostled it out of gear.
Ah, one of those in-laws.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Future in-laws.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they didn't want to be future in-laws. Maybe they were trying to get rid of you.
Oh.
And you were obviously embarrassed by this.
Very, yes.
Very.
Well, I was embarrassed, and you know, I was trying my best, and it was just sort of a moment of bursting into flame, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very possible that whoever did the brake job did everything perfectly fine.
Okay.
And still, the handbrake wouldn't work.
Now, on this car, the handbrake is incorporated into the front calipers.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So that when you pull on the handbrake, you are pulling a lever which moves the front caliper pistons.
Okay.
And it's possible, and it happens from time to time, that either they screwed the pistons in too far when they put the new pads in, would make the handbrake lever pull all the way up. Did it pull all the way up?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like there's no play in it anymore.
Yeah, it pulls all the way up, but it doesn't hold the car.
And it doesn't even feel tight, even though you're pulling it way up to the top of its travel.
Well, it does sort of. It sort of does the job, but I need to put it in gear nowadays.
Well, I mean, you should put the car in gear anyway.
Okay.
Especially if it's a Saab, because even when they work well, they're lousy, these emergency brakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very, very possible that being in gear will not be sufficient on a big hill, a steep hill, without the handbrake.
Okay.
So you need both.
So on a really steep hill, you may want to even chalk the wheels.
All right, okay.
I mean, you of course, you always turn the wheels in toward the curb, right?
Right, and away from the curb when I'm going uphill.
Yeah, good.
So I need to get out and get some chalks for my wheels.
Well, what you need to do is find out if the emergency brakes are working. You need to take it to a shop up there in Tacoma.
Oh, just turn on the pull on the brake and drive and see if it goes.
Well, he knows it goes because it already went without the engine running.
Yeah.
So we know the emergency brake isn't working correctly. It's possible that they either screwed the pistons in too far or one of the emergency brake mechanisms is damaged and it may be working on only one wheel.
Okay.
They'll put it on the lift. They'll apply the handbrake. And they'll see if both of the wheels are locked up. If one of them isn't locked up, the caliper may need to be replaced.
Yeah. But you have to fix this. This is dangerous, Nat.
Okay, all right.
And to say nothing of the embarrassment.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez.
Here's my new... Oh, there it goes.
Hey, who did that? Well, Nathaniel, good luck.
Yeah, all righty.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Nat.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ann from Sacramento.
Ann
from Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
Is that Ann with an E at the end?
No E.
There are very few Anns with E's at the end, huh?
No, I think actually it's the other way around.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah,
no. Oh. Nay. We're getting head shakes from the entire staff here.
I mean,
Karen's shaking.
I thought I had a more unique approach.
Based on
Catherine's shaking. Bugsy shaking. Oh, Bugsy nodded off.
He's always shaking.
Bugsy even here? Did he fall down onto the table again?
I mean, just based on our limited sample, every time I ask people, is that an Ann with an E on the end? The answer is almost always no.
Huh. Okay, mine has an E.
You're lying to us now.
No, it's just plain old Ann, A-N-N.
What do you want to talk about?
I have this Honda Civic, and it has this problem that it doesn't start up when it's raining outside, or if it has rained outside.
Yeah.
And I've taken it to several places, and I've gotten all kinds of things fixed, but they can never get the problem to repeat, so I never have gotten that problem fixed. Although the rest of the car is now in pretty good shape.
What kinds of things have they done?
Okay, they did a tune-up. They put new spark plugs in. I think they replaced the air filter and the fuel filter, outer CV boot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it checked at a diagnostic place, an electrical place.
Yeah.
They couldn't find anything. They sprinkled water on it from above and everything, and they couldn't get it to repeat the problem, so they can't fix it. So there's my problem.
What about spark plug wires?
They replaced those.
Did they change the
distributor cap?
The cap.
You have the receipt?
Yeah, I have one of several.
If they did a tune-up, they probably did.
And if they went to the bother of replacing the wires, they should have replaced the cap and the ignition rotor.
Well, I guess they would have.
Well, I guess they would have, too. Let's assume they did, because these cars have a problem with ignition rotor burn-through and distributor cap burn-through.
Oh.
Which could certainly cause a wet weather problem.
Okay.
So we'll assume that being thorough and knowing that you had this problem, they would naturally go ahead and replace this stuff.
And don't forget, it is not in our best interest to make that assumption because we could have simply said, that's what it is, and we'd be done with you.
We'd be on to the next caller
who might have the right the question and the answer.
I appreciate this.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I suppose I would then look for a cracked coil.
Well, the coil on this car, I believe, 88.
It's a square-looking thing.
Well,
is this the square one?
I've worked on Hondas since 1975.
Really?
And I can't tell you if the coil on this car, because unlike most companies, unlike a lot of companies, the Japanese seem to move stuff around all the time.
Oh.
First, the coil is in one spot, and it's got a wire that connects it to the distributor. The next year, it's underneath the distributor cap and integral with the distributor.
Uh-huh.
The year later, they take it out again. Then they put it back. Then they take it out. Then they move it.
They find boxes of them somewhere.
I don't know what happened.
What are they going to do with all these extra coils?
I mean, I don't know why it was good last year, but it isn't good this year. And if it's good this year, why the old design is better next year. In any case, you may have a bad distributor or you may have a bad igniter. If you have one of those distributors where the coil and the igniter are both under the cap, I would recommend changing the whole distributor.
Okay, wait. If the coil and the igniter are under the cap, change the distributor. The entire distributor.
Right. If the coil is separate, replace the coil.
You can try replacing the coil. I mean, you can test the coil at the diagnostic center. It may test okay, but there may be a little crack in it. But I would have to guess that the problem is in the distributor itself.
Okay.
And the reason I suggest replacing the whole thing is it's cheaper than buying all the pieces and rebuilding the one you have, believe it or not.
Is a distributor replacement an expensive endeavor?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
like
I mean, we're not talking thousands of dollars here.
It's like $600 or so.
I mean, the reason that it doesn't check when they try sprinkling water on it is that they're not replicating a rainstorm.
Okay.
I mean, in a rainstorm, the moisture droplets are everywhere, and they're sneaking around underneath that hood, and spraying a hose on it is not the same.
Okay.
So it's very difficult to replicate this problem.
They can try dipping it. We dip cars.
Is that a kid or a cat?
You dip cars. That's a kid.
That's a kid.
Yes. She's going to go see if she can find the coil.
Well, try to find the coil. I don't think the coil is the problem. I would have to agree with myself here for once. That the problem is underneath the cap and it's the distributor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would take it to the Honda dealer.
Okay.
Tell them the dilemma.
Yes.
Tell them that you think it's the distributor. You would like them to change it.
Okay.
Okay? If they do that and it doesn't solve the problem, you would like them to take it out and sell it to someone else.
Okay. Okay.
Preferably someone who needs it.
All right.
All righty?
All right.
Good luck, Ann.
Thanks so much.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break.
Oh, yeah, because this is going to require thinking. And in order to think, I need what?
Another donut.
We'll be right back. Mama at the wheel, her cat glasses on. A ride to the beach, her friends come along. A day in the sun, sand on her feet, 66 wagon. It's a car full of kids, windows rolled down, radio up, driving through town. Dog in the back, drooling on the seat. Car full of kids, coming down the street. And even though guys who install car radios quit on ethical grounds whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. We'd like to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Since you're listening to Car Talk, chances are at some point you'll be thinking about new tires. If you couldn't hear what I just said over the road noise your old tires are making, you might want to think about new tires right now. At TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, will be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. All right, we're back. Oh.
Wait, what do you?
Animal
sure,
crackers.
You took the crackers away from me, so I wouldn't eat them, and now you're eating them.
Well, I knew you couldn't be trusted not to eat them while we were on the air.
But we are on the air. Oh.
Anyway, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us. Clicking, these are good. Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and here's the answer to last week's puzzler.
What?
Okay, you ready for this?
What?
Here's the prize for a 65 black AMC Ambassador convertible. What was last week's puzzler?
I've got it! I've got it! I'm going to win a car!
Time's up, sorry.
There was no puzzle last week.
Yeah, there was a puzzle last week. You just don't remember it.
I certainly don't.
The events in this puzzler took place long, long ago, before the advent of cars and planes. Let's say sometime roughly between the Stone Age and my brother's bar mitzvah. Okay. Yeah. Some engineers were contemplating
only a year and a half.
building a suspension bridge across a gorge.
Oh.
The gorge at Niagara Falls. You know what a gorge is, right?
I do. That's what I do at Thanksgiving.
So you got the river raging below, and you've got to get cables for this suspension bridge from one side to the other. But there's no way to get the cables across because there was no boat that could fight that current. I mean, a boat trying to go from... I mean, it was...
No, the Maid of the Mist.
And then they couldn't scale the vertical walls.
And the Maid of the Mist hadn't been invented yet.
They hadn't invented the Maid of the Mist.
No.
So they had to get the cables across somehow. And after the engineers and builders figured out how to do it, they staged a contest on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, open to the public. And the purpose of the contest was to help get these massive cables across the gorge. The contest was won by a young boy. And shortly after the contest was completed, they were able to run the cables from one side of the gorge to the other. The question very simply was, what's the kid's name? What was the contest?
I didn't get this one.
You didn't get it?
I didn't, no.
The contest?
I didn't understand.
Berman even got this
one. I didn't understand the question, actually.
You didn't?
No.
You got to understand
I understand it now that you gave me the answer yesterday.
You don't like it?
No, I like it. I thought it was great.
The contest was a kite flying contest. The first kid to be able to get a kite, to land on the other side of the gorge, won. And what they did was they took that kite string and attached to it a rope, slightly heavier than the thing, and they pulled that across, and they attached successively stronger ropes until they finally had one strong enough to pull
chain.
A cable across.
Exactly.
And then once they had one, they had another, and there you go.
Yeah. I think that's good. That's good.
I mean, like I said, it may be completely bogus as far as it being historically accurate. It probably is.
Judging from most of the puzzles that you've used, it would be an amazing feat if it were not.
Yeah, it would be. And who's going to win our fabulous prize?
Well, our prize is won by a young boy. It's not a young boy. It's someone named Jane Oakes from Longboat Key, Florida. Longboat Key.
Cool name.
There's someone who's not working for a living. You know that.
No.
There's
someone in the surfboard business.
Absolutely, Jane. We know that. But anyway, we're going to send you, because we chose your answer from among the thousands of correct answers that we had, you are going to win a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk store on our website. And with that gift certificate, you go and pick out anything you want as long as it's on the cheap side. Yeah.
Boy, we're real big spenders. Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler. And it's coming up in the third half of today's show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom Van Hare in Boca Raton, Florida.
Hi, Tom.
Boca Raton.
I've got a blue Honda Accord, 92.
92 blue.
The way I'm seeing it, I either have two very simple problems or one extraordinarily difficult one.
Okay, lay it on us, man.
Here's what goes on. We just actually had a blowout on the road, so we replaced the tires. Okay, front tires, both of them. Mm-hmm. Car drives great, things are doing fine, except now, when I go around a turn, I get a noise.
Okay, we know what that one is.
Good.
That's easy.
That's good.
Okay, well,
it makes it on right-hand turns?
Right and left hand.
And the noise is coming alternately or from the same side every time?
No, it'll make it on both sides. The sharper the turn, the louder the noise, and the faster I'm going, the louder the noise.
And did this happen the very day that you put the new tires on or a week later?
About a week later, I think.
Good, good, good!
Don't ever discount dumb luck.
Now, here I am.
Yeah.
New tires. Balanced, right?
Yeah.
First day, got it out on the highway in Florida, turnpike, speed limit 70, no problem. A week later, I can't do 70 because the steering wheel starts to shake in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And this is a pretty severe vibration. If I do it, I'll actually get a headache.
Wow.
So I keep slowing down. Well, at this point, I'm at 48 miles an hour.
Really?
Really.
And you haven't gone back at all?
To
have them look at it. Because I have a theory.
I do,
that,
too.
That fits everything.
Well, I mean, for one thing, you shouldn't keep driving. I mean,
something is seriously wrong.
Seriously wrong.
And here's what I think is wrong.
All right. I'm going to write down in small print.
I am, too. And I'm going to show you mine. Don't go away, Tom.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Okay, I've got my two ideas written down.
Let me see yours. Oh, you got your head of that.
Both of these fit every criterion.
Yeah, well, that's the one I wrote, and that's the one it is. It is.
My
brother and I did agree, actually.
We did agree, actually.
You have what we believe are loose wheel nuts.
That's why I said you shouldn't be driving.
Loose wheel nuts.
Yeah, the wheels are ready to fall off.
Yes, I think when the wheel nuts are loose, these are the nuts that hold the wheel to the rest of the car. If they are loose, you can get unusual noises when you turn and accelerate.
Because the wheels are wobbling against the lug nuts.
Because there are forces at work there that aren't there when you're just accelerating in a straight-ahead fashion.
And the reason that it's happening, that it's getting worse every day, is that the lug nuts are ready to fall off into the street if some of them haven't already. so don't drive another foot.
You're not on your cell phone, are you?
I'd be willing to bet $5.
I mean, I originally thought that you had a bad CV joint or maybe two bad CV joints.
Yeah, but
the coincidence is too strong.
We dismissed that because of coincidence. Probabilities.
Exactly. So you're saying open up my trunk.
And get your lug wrench out.
Get your lug wrench out and you'll find that all of those lug nuts are loose.
Okay, well, I have one quick question. I go out there, okay, and the car is parked out of my window here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I try to tighten these lug nuts.
Yeah.
They are completely tight. Then what? Do I call you guys again?
Call us right
back. You'll never take a guy like me twice.
We will.
No. We're lucky we took you the first time.
No, you want to go out and do it? Go do it. Call us back.
And if
you're
going to
do it right now. You promise.
Okay.
All right. See you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh,
yeah, far away, North Dakota. What's up, Nancy?
My boyfriend and I are having a running discussion about his car, which has served him well. He's got an 86 Toyota MR2, 5-speed manual transmission.
I know it well.
Mm-hmm. But we're experiencing some problems with it. When we start it up now, there's a lot of smoke coming out of the tailpipe, and it's burning or using oil. We need to put in oil, a couple of quarts every couple of weeks.
That's because he drove it like an animal. Before you had a chance to meet this guy and civilize him.
Tame him, you might say.
Tame him, yes.
Yeah.
I'll relay that information.
Yeah, he drove it like a complete maniac, and he wrecked it.
How many, you say 2 quarts every couple of weeks, how many miles is that, roughly?
Well, we're only driving around in town here.
Ooh.
It's a very short commute, so it's city driving. What we're experiencing in driving it is, on the tachometer, every time it gets to about, I think, 3,000 RPMs, the car is hesitating or stuttering or lurching a little bit.
That's a separate problem.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that pales
problem.
In comparison to this problem.
Oh, okay.
No, this is disastrous.
The smoke is disastrous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you might only, in those 2 weeks, you might only be driving a couple of hundred miles, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking about a quart every 100 miles or less.
Right.
So, I mean, what's the nature of this running discussion, as you called it?
I mean, well,
what's your part of this discussion?
Yeah, I owned a 67 VW, brand new, 67. Drove it in high school. Kept rebuilding and restoring.
Yeah.
And loved doing that. And I think maybe, you know, he still loves this car. Perhaps he should investigate a thorough service on it.
Yeah.
And
we'll
maybe
see.
Even rebuild it or whatever would be required. I appreciate that it would be a completely more, you know, a complicated engine, completely different process. But he's thinking more along the lines of, well, this has probably just seen its day, and we should probably just let it run down without having any kind of major investment in it.
How do you figure in this? Is he looking to you for some kind of financial contribution?
Oh, no, not at all.
So this is
just a theoretical, philosophical discussion. And, I mean, what it is the basic difference between certain kinds of people, like my brother and myself.
Chiselers and generous people.
My brother, like your boyfriend, believes in dumping everything at the first possible opportunity. And you and I, the more reasonable, sane, more gentler, kinder, the gentler, kinder part of the world, believe that you shouldn't just be throwing away all this stuff. Fix everything and keep it forever.
Well, I think he has a lot of very gentle and tender qualities, I will say that.
I'm sure he does if he's anything like me.
What do you mean? You just referred to him as an animal.
Well, you know.
He's a gentler, kinder animal?
Well, yeah, let me explain something to you.
Explain me, Lucy.
Everyone has built into them, whether you're it's particularly worse if you're a male, but everyone has built-in aggressions.
Yes.
And I think if you find a method of venting your aggressions, then you can be a kinder, gentler person in your personal relationships.
Yeah.
And you can be an animal. If you had to be mean to something, wouldn't you rather have... What's your boyfriend's name, Nancy?
Henry.
Hank.
No, Henry.
Oh, no.
Henry. Jeez, Henry. Okay.
Henry from Fargo.
Well, Henry might be such a wonderful person because he's getting the opportunity to vent his anger and frustrations and ridding himself of testosterone poisoning by driving his MR2 into the ground.
That is the most bogus theory I have ever heard.
And if that's what it takes to make Henry a nice guy,
No.
Then MR2s are expendable.
That does
they
not.
They keep making them, man.
That does not make people nice guys by venting their aggressions. We're dealing here with a basic question of evolution. Some people have recently fallen out of the trees, and some people haven't.
Well, can we get back to
So you suggest that Henry just fell out of the trees?
Well, I mean, if he's an animal and he's truly an animal, and I'm not talking about Henry particularly, because Nancy knows Henry better than we do, but I'm talking in general. This theory of yours that you've expounded on several times is complete bull. You don't vent aggressions and then become nice because you vented your aggressions by shooting little innocent animals or something, or by whacking baseball bats around. No, you do that because you can't help yourself. You are a Mr. Hyde, and you're not ever going to turn into a Dr. Jekyll without the special Kickapoo juice.
That's it, I'm going to strangle him.
But if you think that Henry is worth saving...
Absolutely.
Then...
Love must conquer all.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have a valid point, and if you can talk Henry into it, fine, but I don't think you're going to.
Well, let's say that I can. Well, what are you thinking?
What? If
about
you can't,
problem.
Then he's going to sell it, and he's going to buy another one. He's going to wreck that one, too, because he's what? An animal.
I can assure you he's not.
See, he's not. So I guess he's basically a nice guy. He may just be misinformed.
Oh.
No, he's an animal.
Do I
but I know the type, believe me. I mean, that's what made him buy that car in the first place. Otherwise,
sure.
He would have bought a Corolla.
That's true.
Yeah.
He bought it because he wanted to wreck it. And yeah. If that's where he gets his jollies, well, that's fine.
Well, can we redeem this in any way, based on the problems as I've described them.
What's your suggestion?
Oh, no, it's a new engine that it needs.
New engine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did we forget to mention that?
Oh,
I think we forgot to mention that. No, it's a new engine that it needs.
Okay.
Because he wrecked it because he's what? An animal. So, and I suppose he could make an argument that why should I spend $3,000 or $4,000 for a new engine, when in fact for a mere $30,000 I can get a whole new car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he has to accept, if he really wants to get rid of the thing, then, you know, and it's his money, don't forget, that he's spending on it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Then you ought to say, Henry, go for it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how I do feel.
Yeah, I think he should get a new one.
Nancy, you're such a sweet person.
No, I think probably I misrepresented myself.
Well, you may have.
I can tell
I'm
just...
the beast.
I can tell just by your voice.
I'm the wild, untamed savage.
That's what he loves about you. You're just like the MR2.
One of you does.
As soon as you start burning oil, he's going to dump you, too. Good luck, Nancy.
I expect to get this comprehensive advice from you.
I'm sorry. Well, I did get carried away.
Either
there.
That or find yourself a nice accountant. They don't wreck cars.
Oh, no. I'm definitely staying with this one.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He's
okay.
The guy for you,
he's
huh?
He's the guy for
very
you?
Very serious.
Terrific.
Well, I wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much.
No,
see
I wish you both the very best.
See you, Nancy. Oh.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, we have back on the phone Tom with the lug nuts. Tom, you there?
I am here, yes.
And?
And?
They are all tight.
Oh, no. They're
nice
now
shot.
Tight because they were loose and you tightened them, right?
No.
No, no. This is clearly a plan B time.
It's plan B time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first order of business is to limp it to the nearest tire shop and have them balance these tires and see if one of them is not defective. I mean, it's possible that you have tread separation. And that would account for the fact that you are driving at increasingly slower speeds.
Plan B. This is plan B.
No.
This is very good.
Yes.
But this wouldn't account for a slow speed noise in a turn.
It could.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It could.
Definitely.
Okay.
I would go immediately to the closest tire shop, tell them what's going on, make them test drive it at 50 miles an hour.
Don't go with them.
No. Tell them you're going to make a phone call.
Too dangerous.
And they'll figure out that you have a bad tire. And I think that's going to solve your problem.
I do, too. I mean, it sounds very dangerous to me.
Okay. Well, that's my biggest concern.
All right.
Yeah.
And, Tom, don't call back.
No, call back. I want to know.
We do. All of America wants to know.
All of America wants to know. Does
we'll
Tom have a bad tire?
We'll talk next week.
Okay.
See
you,
Tom.
Thank you very much, as always. Guys are great.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
It's so that our local stations can take care of some important business.
Yeah, giving their call letters, thanking the underwriters.
Firing the moron who put us on the air.
Oh, I'm sure that's at the top of the list.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute. And even though cats carefully cover their radios with kitty litter whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Is this from some series?
No. Well, it may be.
Maybe the beginning.
It may be the beginning of a series. We don't know. But I was just thinking the other day, and I don't know how this happened, that it's been a very, very long time. I should explain to people that, you know, every week I give a puzzler, except for the 26 weeks that it's on vacation. But all those other weeks, I give a puzzler. And then the following week, I give the answer to that puzzler. And
the following week, you correct the answer?
No. But for a long, long time, whenever I gave a puzzler and the answer, your response was, Gus. Well, I haven't heard that.
Well, that is true.
For months. And in fact, just the other day, I received an email corroborating the fact that you haven't...
I haven't said that.
You haven't criticized the puzzler as being bogus for a very, very long time. So I thought, in that spirit...
That this is it.
That I would use a puzzler today that gives you the opportunity, if you choose, to say that. And you'll have to be the judge. You may think it's a perfectly wonderful puzzler, as do I.
Well, see, I thought that I was saying bogus, not to puzzlers, but to the answers that you've been giving to people.
Exactly, the answers.
No, not the puzzler answers. I'm talking about the when people call with problems about their cars.
Oh, those are all bogus. Anyway, here it is.
Okay.
Pay attention now.
Bet I will.
There's a lot of unnecessary information here, and most of it is.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to just sit back and get it all in. Go ahead.
A woman and her husband spent a week vacationing in Maine last summer where they rented a small cabin not too far from town in some well-known tourist attractions. About 2 months after they had returned home, the woman called the police department in that small town and reported a body, yes, a human body, lying face down in the brush behind the very cabin that they had rented. The detective to whom she spoke said there had indeed been a murder, and only recently was the victim found in that exact spot.
Huh.
The detective, however, was angry and demanded to know why she had not called sooner. He asked, what, were you in a coma or something? Or maybe you were abducted by Martians. Oh, no, it was nothing like that. And she explained her actions. The detective said, oh, I see, and thanked her for her call. What had she said? Now,
I'll give,
you may not like the answer. I'll give a hint.
Yeah?
The hint is vacation. She and her husband were on vacation. That's the hint.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah,
that's
okay.
It. Now, there may be a lot of answers, but most of them will be bogus, and I think only one of them will be...
legit.
...good enough. Now,
okay.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Mega Fitness EXM 4000S multi-station four-person home gym with optional leg press / calf press station, 3 210-pound steel alloy weight stacks, hydraulically adjusted seat pads, fully padded lat bar, and DuraFirm butt enhancer. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
A butt enhancer. Look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Cliff, and I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Cliff.
How you doing, Cliff?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have a problem with my ignition on my 1990 Maxima. When I get up and take my first trip, and for the short one, mile or so, I'm unable to remove the key from the ignition. If I sit there for about 3 minutes, then the ignition will click, and I'm able to push the button and remove the key.
Really?
Yeah. But if I drive a long period of time, like 5, 6 miles or so, whatever, then I turn the ignition off, I'm able to get the key out.
Oh, man. What okay, did we well, do to deserve you?
Yeah. Jeez.
Cliff, give us a break.
Cliff, unfortunately, we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Boy, we'd love to chit-chat.
Really?
You know, wow.
And so you don't have, and all kinds of jiggling and stuff doesn't help.
All kind of jiggling and making sure I'm in park and pushing the button, that doesn't help.
In order to remove the key,
you have to press that little button and then turn it another quarter of a turn.
But it's also got to be in park.
Right.
Right. But what happens in those 3 minutes?
I don't know.
Well, something heats up. How long do you have to drive?
If I go a real short trip, I can't get the key out at all.
Right, but if you go on a longer trip, this doesn't happen.
I have no problem. And then I have my keys on a split key ring. And when I stop my car and I can't get the key out, I just remove the other keys off the ring.
Right, right.
I drape something over the steering wheel. Don't tell anybody.
Right.
Then I lock my doors, and I have keyless entry.
Yeah.
Right, and I go off and run my errand.
See, my question is, doesn't anyone screen these calls? I mean.
Hey, you guys just got a tough one here, huh?
Man.
I'm trying to figure out. When you put the shifter in park, you then send, you close a switch, I believe, which then sends a signal to it's going to be a solenoid, which allows you to turn the key. And that's what's not working, and that's what's finally clicking.
The solenoid.
I'll tell you, Cliff, it's really starting to take its toll on my ego. Quite honestly, I don't know exactly how the system works, but it's got to be, it is tied into that switch.
Right.
That's in the park position. And if you were to get out the wiring diagram or somebody and trace what happens to that
interlock, it's called the shift interlock.
When that switch on the shift interlock gets closed, what happens then? Is what's preventing, or rather, what doesn't happen then, is what's preventing you from taking the key out.
Right, because if you tried to get the key out while the car was in drive, it would do exactly what it's doing now. The thing that we're struggling with is what happens in those 3 minutes that allows that relay, wherever it may be, to engage.
No, who knows? It might be a mechanical linkage from under
but
the
steering. But he's not touching anything.
He's just
sitting there minding his own business, and the relay decides to click.
No, I don't think so. I think it's mechanical, and the thing is sitting there, and it's ready to free up. It's ready to move, but it just isn't moving, and then gravity takes over. They laughed at Newton, too. They laughed at Newton. I just wanted to know that.
Gravity. Well, I have to admit, it was clever to come up with that because it's the only force
that hasn't been defined yet.
Yeah, okay, gravity. I'll go along with that.
Woo! I would take this thing to your local electrical shop, Cliff.
Okay.
And tell them what you think you may have learned from this call and see if they can come up with something. But it definitely has to do with that shift interlock. We'll be awaiting your Stump the Chumps call, Cliff.
Okay.
See you, brother.
Woof.
Thank you.
Cliff, that was a toughie.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron from Ann Arbor.
Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron, E-R-I-N.
Correct.
How are you?
I am doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. As are we.
That is good.
What can we do for you?
Are you a student or a college professor?
Well, I'm no longer a student, but I'm not quite the professor yet.
Okay.
The problem is...
Wait, does that mean you have a J-O-B?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
Finally.
Yeah. All right.
I have a housemate, and the house that we live in has a single driveway. I own a car. She owns two cars. She recently bought a new car because she didn't feel her first car that she bought, which is an 87 Sundance, It has 140,000 miles on it. She didn't think it was reliable enough to drive into Detroit three times a week.
Yeah.
However, the problem is, I think it hinges on the fact that it's her first car. She won't get rid of the thing,
yeah.
And it becomes kind of a nightmare if I'm the first one in the driveway and she decides to take this first car of hers around the block, because then in the morning, you know, it's like a circus. You got to take the first car out and put it in the street, take the second car out,
yep.
Then get my car out, you
yep.
know, and
yep.
then drive them all back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's given me a couple of excuses on why she doesn't want to sell the thing. You know, one, her first one was she wasn't sure what it was worth, you know. She thinks that, you know, it's
she is sure what it's worth. That's why she doesn't want to sell it.
I would think that this is probably a common problem, you know, people with their first car just don't know how to, you know, let it go.
I don't have the complete list in front of me, but I'm sure the Sundance would certainly be within the top 20 of the passenger cars least likely to be stolen.
Yeah, so you can't count on that.
Yeah.
But where is your housemate in the morning when you're schlepping all these cars
sleeping.
In and out of the driveway? What's she doing?
Sleeping or, I don't know, getting ready for her, to go to her J-O-B, you know?
And she doesn't feel incumbent upon her? She doesn't
feel
any...
sometimes she'll help me move the cars, but, you know, someone is still driving two of the cars. I mean, it's just like
a major
production.
That person should clearly be her. If she owns two of the cars, she should drive them. I mean, how confrontational do you want to be? Or do you want us to be?
Yeah, I mean, are you pleased with the house?
To help me out, because, you know, I think I've been confrontational enough about this issue. And
is there a little friction now between you?
Oh, I'm not sure. There might be.
There might be.
I'm not aware of it, but
yeah,
it could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
This is a big problem, and this is the kind of thing from which battles come.
That's
wars.
Right.
Entire nations. I mean, think about it. If you were from one faction and she were from another, this could precipitate World War III sooner or later.
It could.
This is probably what happened in Bosnia.
From humble beginnings.
Yeah.
From a simple problem that should have a simple resolution with intelligent people working
yeah.
at them. And yet it doesn't seem to be a solution at hand because one or both parties are being intractable.
Or not thankful enough for the fact... I mean, Fred Glass always told us, when we complained about various things like paying taxes to the Internal Revenue Service, he said, you should be thankful that you have the health to work and make the money so that you have to pay taxes.
So guys like me can collect and haven't worked or paid taxes in 25 years.
Exactly. So, I mean, what Fred Glass would say is you should be happy that you have the two legs that you can get up and jump up out of bed and run out into that driveway and move those cars instead of complaining about it. Every day you should say, thank God that I can move these two cars. That would be Fred Glass's answer. Now, Fred Glass is a fruitcake. So you may not ascribe to this.
You don't think that this car should just be, you know, sold or gotten rid of somehow? I mean, maybe I could sneak out in the middle of the night. Well, you've already said, and if she listens, that this car won't get stolen, but...
Yeah, it won't get stolen. And,
well, I mean, for one thing, does she move this car around, like, every day?
No. It's probably, you know, once a week she feels like she should drive it just to make sure that, you know, it's still working.
Yeah. Hmm.
But you never know, you know. I never know until, you know, the next morning, you know.
Well, you know, there are many home accidents every year. And certain unfortunate occurrences take place
yeah.
that damage people's personal property.
Of a conflagratory nature.
Of a conflagrationary nature, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be having a barbecue with the grill too close to the car. I mean, these things happen and the flames could, you know, I mean, not to suggest that it, you know. Might, but...
No, not to suggest. Certainly not to suggest. But those things do happen. An 87 Sundance. Isn't it interesting that you can fall in love with something as ugly as that?
Well, the car may have some special significance to your roommate, and you have to be understanding of that. Let's assume, for the sake of simplicity, that she is going to keep the car.
Okay.
In which case, I think it would only be reasonable to assume that she should do two-thirds of the car jockeying.
Okay.
And if she doesn't, then she should find some way to compensate you.
But we know that that's true, but how in the world do you get her to do it?
You don't get her to do it. What you get her to do is to agree to do something else, like take out the garbage all the time. Assuming that
You should know better than this. You've had two teenagers in your house. They never took out the garbage, and when they didn't take out the garbage, did you get them to do something else to make up for it? Of course not.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I know. The keys must
be... You have to poison her. I mean, let's examine another avenue. You really need a roommate.
She pays most of the rent.
She pays most of the rent.
Oh, why?
Well, because she's got two cars in the driveway.
She has a... Oh, you base... She has a better job?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that's not very egalitarian.
To each according to his needs. From each.
No, I think if you share the house, and you should each pay the same. So stop complaining and move the damn cars and get a life.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, Aaron. I think you should simply adopt the Fred Glass philosophy of life. And every day when it's your turn to move all those stupid little cars of hers, just raise your head up to heaven and say, thank you, Fred Glass, for straightening me out.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
There you go.
Tomorrow
fact,
morning.
If you want, we can send you a little plastic doll of Fred.
We can send you Fred himself. We've been dying to get rid of Fred.
Can he hang from my mirror?
He'll hang from anything.
Thanks for calling, Aaron.
Thank you.
See you later. Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor out on the North American Spring Free Lunch Grand Am Tour. And that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin O'Vara. Our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. From the New Delhi office, our blues coordinator is Mohammed Antolmi. Tom's personal hygiene coach is Haseen Benizi. The manager of the Car Talk listener rebate program is Wendy Pigsfly. Our staff tax preparer is Lionel Little. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the dropouts in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1519, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, what to do with your old heat when you buy a new car.
You could crush it just for the emotional satisfaction that revenge brings on, but why not rise above that and donate it to benefit your favorite public radio station, this one.
It's extremely easy with the Car Talk vehicle donation program.
Details are on the website at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR landscaper takes a long, hard look at his wood chipper whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.